Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Blessed feast. You see, the church is in blue. The priests are wearing the blue vestments because this is a feast of the Lord, truly, but also a feast of the Mother of God, who now in this feast, in the first public way, brings her Son, the God-man, Jesus Christ, to the temple. It's the Lord's first meeting with humanity in the hands of Simeon. And she offers him then, just like she offers him in tears as she stands at the foot of his cross at his earthly death. This feast is called in Greek, Epaphandi. It's one of my favorite words in Greek. Greek has some fun words. Epaphandi. And what it means literally is an encounter or a meeting. The meeting of it's also called the presentation because the Mother of God and Joseph, his stepfather, foster father, they're bringing him as an offering. The law of Moses was that boys were brought at 40 days into the temple to be blessed and be sanctified by God. And the lawgiver, Jesus Christ, he submits himself to the law. It shows the humility of God. And again, it's his first public appearance, so to speak. So the scene is very beautiful. They come, they offer the turtle doves, the sacrificial offering, according to the law. And Simeon, that beautiful saint, that beautiful man you see in the icon, the Lord gave him a prophecy that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah and held the Messiah in his arms. He knew the true scriptures. He knew what the Jews should have all known, but their pride kept them from seeing. And imagine his joy that when he received the Savior, the foretold Blessed One, the meaning of all of life for thousands of years, he received him in his arms as an infant. And that's why he said that beautiful prayer that we say every day in the Orthodox Church, every Vespers, the prayer of St. Simeon. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And then he died in peace, having received paradise into his arms, the living Christ. Such a beautiful feast. His whole family escorted him there according to the law. This feast is very little known outside of the Orthodox Church, unfortunately, and not celebrated, but it's one of the 12 great ancient feasts. It actually finishes, it's the official completion of the cycle of Christmas, of Nativity, and now we get ready to prepare ourselves to the Feast of Great Lent and walking with our Lord in His Passion and to His Holy Resurrection in Easter and in Pascha. If you read the lives of the saints, the teachings of the saints about this feast, there are volumes of homilies, sermons about this incredible feast. Yes, I think, okay, the main themes are God is encountering His people. God became a man, now He's encountering it, and He comes to fill all of us. And the lawgiver submits to the law in His humility. Those are the major themes. But I was reading a number of homilies. I stumbled upon one, which was short and so breathtakingly beautiful, from a somewhat modern saint, Saint Theophan the Recluse. And when I read it, I said, I'm just going to present this to you all today, and I beg you to take it to heart. Because Saint Theophan, one of the greatest saints, his whole focus was, how do the feasts become real to me and really change my life and don't stay outside of ourselves? And if you attend to this teaching today, not only will you go, oh, that's a beautiful feast, you'll say, I can meet and encounter the Lord as well. Here's what he says. What a tender scene we see in the icon. The meeting of the Lord shows us today. The venerable elder Simeon holding the infant God in his hands. On either side of him are the righteous Joseph, the most holy Theotokos. Not far away, we heard about in the Gospel, is the prophetess Anna, an 80-year-old ascetic, a fasting person, a woman of prayer. All their eyes are directed toward the Savior, this child Savior. Their attention is absorbed by Him, and they drink in spiritual sweetness from Him, which feeds their souls. You can judge for yourself how beautiful and blessed was the state of these souls. However, brothers and sisters, we're called not only to think about their blessedness, but also to taste it in reality. For we are all called in the church to have and to carry the Lord in ourselves and to disappear in Him with all the powers of our spirit. And we can do this. And when we reach this state, then our blessedness will be no lower than that of those who stood participating in this feast of the meeting of the Lord. They were blessed who saw it. We shall be blessed who have not seen and yet believe. Pay attention. I will show you briefly how to achieve this. Here is what to do. So here's a saint telling us how to do this. Let's listen. One, first of all, repent. Remember that nothing must be done in the spiritual life without repentance. No matter what anyone seeks, whatever endeavors we have, the beginning of it always be repentance. Just as a house cannot be built without a foundation, nor can a field be sown or planted without first it being cleared, so also without repentance, we cannot begin our spiritual search. Anything begun without repentance is a waste of time and was begun in vain. So first of all, repent. What does that mean? Weep over everything evil that you have done, that we all do, and resolve to do only what is pleasing to God. This will be like turning your eyes and your gaze and your whole body and soul towards the path of encountering and meeting the Lord and taking the first step upon that path. That's one. Two. Next, keep this repentance constant, not a one-time event. Establish for yourself a manner of life and a way of conduct that would make every step of your life, every movement in your life, something that directs your attention to our Lord and Savior Christ. Such an order of life will establish itself naturally. How does that happen naturally, that we can walk with Him in everything? Here's how. A, you do everything that you do for the glory of the Lord and for Christ's sake. What does he mean by that? Here we mean not only great deeds, but little deeds. All deeds. For what we see, what we hear, when we're in silence, when we're speaking, when we're eating, when we're drinking, when we're sitting, when we're walking, when we're working, when we're resting, every moment, all this can be dedicated to the Lord and sanctified by His all-holy name. What does he mean by that? His all-holy name, the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. There isn't a minute when we're not doing something. That's pretty obvious. We forget that. There isn't a minute we're not doing something. So by thus dedicating your activity, you'll be meeting the Lord minute by minute, every minute, directing all of your activities to His glory, whatever it is. You can even more conveniently do this and reap fruits from it if you do this following also. B. Insert into the order of your daily activities, which we all have a life and a rhythm, work, school, bath, everything we got to do, all cleaning. Insert into that the practice of prayer. Your prayer rule from your spiritual father. Your coming to church, a rhythm of church, and at home prayer. And in general, listen to what he says. You want to meet the Lord? Make it your rule to be a strict fulfiller of all the rules and order of the Holy Church to the last iota, to the last dot, without vain elaboration or overthinking it with your distorted commentary, and just doing it, the life of the church, with simplicity of heart. Don't think about it, just do it, what the church asks us to do. As the content of all prayer is the Lord, we don't pray just to pray, we pray because we want Him. So we can turn to Him by doing this and participating in these prayers and the church services. You'll be meeting the Lord how? Through your heart's sympathy, your heart being involved, not just your lips, the sympathy of your heart, and it'll be delight. And then he says, if after this C, you fill all your other interim time, what does he mean interim time? Your wasted time, the filler time that you usually waste with junk, with stupid shows, checking your phone, listening junk on the radio. What he means is, in this time, fill it with the reading in the scriptures about the Lord, listening to talks about Him, or with your own quiet contemplation of Him and the amazing works of salvation He's done on earth. And then if you do these things, it's not too hard, he says. You will see for yourself that nothing, listen to this, nothing will remain within us or around us that does not bring us always to remember the Lord. Just bring Him to your attention and always carry your spirit to meet Him. Next, he says this, just the same, we should remember and not forget that all this work we're going to do to remember Him, all these labors and occupations, are just preparation. They're not the main event. You can't stop there, but strive onward. What is he saying? It's very important. Just as food, when you chew it up and take it in, later becomes broken down and gives us life, so must these occupations of filling our time with prayer and our moments and always walking before Him, these things we do visibly and with our hands, tangibly, they have to turn into something more. They can't be alone just these offerings of our hands and our mouths. No. Turn into a spirit of a refined inclination or a constant internal striving toward the Lord. At the beginning, it's on the outside and not really inside. We feel empty. We go from the outside in and our hearts are always leaping towards Him. What does he mean? Namely, the work of consecrating all of our activities to the Lord. Why are we doing it? It should have the quality of reaching with our whole soul's desire only for Him. When we do all of our prayers or attend the divine services, a feeling should form in our hearts of union with the Lord and what He is and what He wants from me. Underlying all of our reading and our listening to the Holy Scriptures about the Lord, it can't be just listening with the ears. There should be the eager directing of our mind towards the Lord alone. These labors, to work your schedule around the Lord, go to services, do your prayers, think about Him every moment, say the Jesus prayer, that's work on our part. They are work in the field, clearing the field, so to speak. And then the striving of the heart that comes after them, that's the growth of the seeds that have been sown. The first step are the stems and the branches. That inner striving is the flower and the fruit. When these holy inclinations come in within us, it will mean that our spirit has gone out with all of its consciousness and disposition to truly encounter the living God. Since the Lord is everywhere and He Himself seeks to meet with our spirit, then their mutual meeting will come about by itself. What does he mean by that? If you do this, if you live this way, which we all can do, and your heart is thrown into it, your whole striving, the Lord is always looking to meet people like this, and you will know Him. Guaranteed. It doesn't matter if you're smart, a professor, none of it. It's a matter of will. From that moment, our spirit will begin to taste the blessedness just like righteous Simeon. How awesome is that? Just like Simeon who received God in his arms. That is, our spirit will begin to bear in the embrace of its powers a constant striving for the Lord, who is complete satiety. He fills everything, and He's complete satisfaction. This is what it's called when it says, taste the Lord. That's what it means. To rest in Him, mentally standing for the Lord, walking in His presence always, and ceaseless, unstopping prayer. This is the object of what every saint wanted in their hearts, and it's attainable. The saint says to us today on this feast, I wish that all of you celebrating this feast of the meeting of the Lord be vouchsafed this true blessing. If any of you complains that you would like the fruit, but the work it takes is too hard to get there, the answer is, okay, good. Okay, good. I'll give you an even easier method, the saint says. A method even simpler than the one laid out. Here it is. Repent. Then, with zeal for keeping all of God's commandments, walk unfailingly in the Lord's presence. Always walk in His presence. Striving for Him with all your mind's attention, all your heart's feelings, and all your will's desires. Everything you want, you check it with Him. If you do this, live this way, you will definitely meet the Lord soon. He will come down to you and abide in you just as in the embrace of righteous Simeon. There is no other way to lighten the labor needed to seek a meeting with the living God. How do we do this? The Jesus Prayer. Father Paul and I always talk about the Jesus Prayer. It's the ancient prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. There's different variations. That's the most ancient, simplest. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. This prayer is powerful and strong to help us in this holy work to meet the Lord. Again, not by itself. Well, how then? Under the condition that all the strength of our spirit is directed toward the Lord. Take your whole life, brothers and sisters. What you eat, what you do, what you listen to, what you do, what you think though, what your heart does, your hands do. Put it all towards the Lord. If it can't go to Him, get rid of it in your life. Put it all towards the living Christ and you'll meet Him. St. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. St. Paul says, seek those things which are above. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. If we do this, guess what happens? Not just for special people. Everyone can attain this. Then you'll become one in spirit with the Lord. You'll behold and you'll embrace the Lord. In a world of doubt where no one believes in God, it won't be you. You won't believe in God in a mental way. I kind of believe that He exists. No. You'll meet Him. You'll encounter Him. You'll know Him. And you'll noetically in your heart and in your mind always be embracing the Lord. And as St. John says, and your heart shall rejoice, and no man shall ever take this joy from you, neither in this age nor in the age to come. Brothers and sisters, let us begin on this feast to turn all of our mind, our hearts, our hands, everything we do in this life towards the Lord, and He will come to meet us. Let us begin to meet the living God and seek paradise. In the prayers of all the saints and St. Theophon, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed feast. Amen.